Okay, let's start a discussion tonight of a sugya that pervades the Masechta a number of times, both Maseches Beitza and Maseches Shabbos. We're towards the end of Maseches Beitza now, but this is a topic that came up back on the first daf of Beitza, among other places, and it's also a very halacha lemaisa topic. We're going to focus a little bit on lumdis, a little bit on halacha lemaisa, food for thought, mostly tonight, and then hopefully we'll be able to do more research based on some of the ideas that we come up with. Remember the Mishnah on in Maseches Shabbos that was quoted in Beitza on Daf Beis. You have it towards the bottom of the Amud. The Mishnah tells us it's from Shabbos Kuf Mem Gimel. The Mishnah says Magbihin me al hashulchan atzamos veklipin. One, or you have a different version of the Mishnah. You look in on the first page of the packet in Shabbos Kuf Mem Gimel. You have Beishami Yomer Ma'avirin Me'al Hashulchan. Different lashonos of what the proper girsa is. But either way, we'll read it from our Masechta. Magbiin Me'al Hashulchan Atzamos V'Klipin. One is allowed to pick up from the table Atzamos V'Klipin, bones and shells. Somebody's eating garinim. If somebody's eating chicken and the bones or the shells go onto the table, so one can pick them up and throw them out. That's the first day. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. No, you're not allowed to touch them. Not allowed to touch them. They're muksa. They're useless. Right? We know the muksa, as we know, the major machlokas, Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon holds of less muksas. Reb Yehuda holds of more muksas. But everybody holds of some muksas. This case, the Tanakhama says, you're allowed to touch them. Mesala says, no way. Mesala kaza tavla, kula umanara. No, you have to basically, what we would call, pick up the tablecloth and shake them off. What's called tiltul min hatsad. Indirect movement of tiltul, but you cannot touch it yourself. Mesala kaza tavla umanara. This is the machlokes between the Tanoim here. Who says what? Beshama Mesila, the Gemara has the version that we have, and the Gemara changes it. We're not going to get back into that right now. But we're going to focus on a Rashi. Rashi says right here in Beitza, and even more explicitly in Shabbos, Rashi says in Beitza, what kind of bones are we talking about? So Rashi says, Magbiin b'Shabbos me'al ha'shulchan atzamos she'enan ru'uyin la'achila, that are not roy to eat. What does that mean? Not roy to eat. Does that mean not roy for me to eat? What impression do you get from Rashi? He doesn't specify. So, if we're not sure about what Rashi says here, if you look at Rashi and Shabbos, he's explicit. Rashi and Shabbos there, you see it's underlined on the right side. Ma'avirin, that's the girsa in the Mishnah Shabbos there. Biadaya me'ala shulchan atzamos kashin she'enan re'uyin lekelev. Not even roi for a dog to eat. Not only inedible for humans, but not even roi for a dog. That is Shitas Rashi. Tosfos is very uncomfortable with this. Why is Tosfos uncomfortable? Back in Beitza, we'll see it through. Actually, you can see it in Shabbos also. You have it in front of you on the sheet. Atzamos v'klipin says Tosfos. Lo kapir shakutris de piresh afilu kashin ve'enim ru'yan lachilas klavim. Not like what Rashi says, that it's not roy at all. Why? What's Tosfos's raya? De hai taina amrinan bigamara. The Karibi Shimon Svirilei for Reb Shimon Boy Lakol Apachas Ruuyos Lamachal Behema. The Gemara says that you need at least basic usage for it to be able to be moved. Diktani Ma'avir Me'al Hashulchan Pirurin, because after all, says Tosfos, look at the next line of the Mishnah, and that's what Tosfos says in Beitza, specifically this next point. What does the next line of the Mishnah say? Let's keep reading. Go back to the Mishnah. Ma'avirin milafnei hashulchan, pirurin pachos mikizayis, viseir shalafun, viseir adashim. One is allowed to remove from the table crumbs or pods of lentils, of peas, mipneishu macho behema. Says Tosfos, you see, our day, our Mishnah is holding that there is a minimum level of usage that is required. It has to be at least roi for animal food. Can't it be an anal roi klau? So Tosfos, look at the rest of the Mishnah. So how could Rashi say that the first part of the Mishnah is talking about anal roi even for ma'achal klavim? You see clearly from the rest of the Mishnah that it has to be ra'ui l'ma'achal behema. And that is why Tosfos doesn't continue here in Shabbos, but if you look in Beitza that phase, Tosfos says, l'kach nirali, after quoting Rashi, she'em ra'uyim l'ma'achal behema. I think the bones we're talking about are the ones that are roi for animal consumption at least. K'gon atzamos rachim v'klipi tapuchim. And Beis Hillel said, no, because they're not roi for human consumption, then you cannot directly touch them. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the shiur, we're going to have two focuses tonight, just two sections of the shiur. The first one will be about Dvarim She'enam Ru'uyim, and the second part will be about Bussis, which will be our a little more in-depth discussion. But this is the Machlokes in Rashi and Tosfos, what the Mishnah is talking about. And our question is, how do we defend Rashi? Right? Tosfos seems to have a strong question. Tosfos says, look at the Mishnah. The continuation of the Mishnah says it has to be Roy L'machal Adam. How could Rashi suggest that in the first part of the Mishnah, it's Eino Ro'i? So Tosfos has a textual problem with the Rashi. What's the answer? By reading the Mishnah. You have any answer? What's the answer? Tosfos tries to pull the wool over our eyes and say, the Mishnah is beforeish against Rashi. But if we think about it, if we read the Mishnah a little clearer or deeper or slower, the Mishnah might even be a raya to Rashi. Not even a kasha on Rashi. And that's what the Pnei Yoshua points out. Pnei Yoshua, if you turn the page, next page, source number, page number two, obviously this is why the Pnei Yoshua was written, as we know from his Hakdama. Pnei Yoshua was a great gadol b'Torah until he had a fire in his house, and Rachman al-Islam, he lost some family members, and while he was lying under the burning log under his house, he makes a neder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he ever gets out alive, he'll devote the rest of his life to finishing the job his grandfather did. His grandfather wrote the Megine Shlomo, a little sefer, defending Rashi from Tosfos' kashas. He says, I'm going to expand it. I'm going to make a comprehensive sefer about answering Tosfos' kasha on Rashi. And the very next second, he gets pulled out of the rubble. So that's why we have a Pnei Yoshua. That's why Baruch Hashem we're zocha to a Pnei Yoshua. So Pnei Yoshua here does exactly what he says he's going to do. He says, Tosfos, what are you asking on Rashi for? Top right. First of all, on a textual level, Tosfos says that, the Pnei Yeshua says that Tosfos, no, I think the second half of the Mishnah is a raya to Rashi, not akasha. Why? The adarabba, the yuka di day mi seifa. Rashi's whole point, Rashi must get it from the seifa. Why? Mi diktani b'seifa. From the fact that the Sefer says, this is okay, and this is Lukule Alma. Because it's Ma'achol Behema, Michal de Bereisha lo chazil behema. Why does the Mishnah in the Sefer have to explicate what we're talking about? As if to say, the first part of the Mishnah was not talking about this, and all of a sudden, this part of the Mishnah is something new. Says the Bnei Yeshua, you get the impression, like Rashi, this is Mutter Lukule Alma, because it is ro'i l'machal behema. But in the Tanakh, in the first part of the Mishnah, there's a machlokas b'sham beis hillel. Mishamachi pligi b'sham beis hillel, u'b'seifa lo pligi. Di'i lo teimahachi, continues the Pnei Yoshua, if you don't say what I'm saying is correct, le'arvinu v'lisninhu, why didn't the Mishnah put all of them together? U'lefarish b'neishim machal behema, v'liso beis hillel nami b'travayu. Why is there only machlokas in the first case? The bones and the shells on the table? There's only machlokas there, but in the second case, the pods, there's no machlokas. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because it's talking about two different cases. If it's royal machlo behema, everybody agrees that you can just pick it up. The first case is like what Rashi says, it's not even royal for an animal. Now we have a serious issue. We have a serious issue. Are you going to be able to move this? So that's a machlokas. El akarcha kideprishis. So that is Tosfos' defense. No, the Pnei Yeshua's defense of Tosfos on Rashi. But there's still one problem. That defends the textual problem. What about misvara? I'm trying to think about it logically, though. What does muksa mean? Muksa means it's not roy. It has no purpose for me on Shabbos. It was not designated. Muksa is the opposite of muchan. Muchan means it's prepared, and muksa means it's out of my da'as. So let's say, according to the Pnei Yeshua and Rashi, so it's talking about ein roy klal. So why is there a day that you're allowed to pick it up directly? Why would there be anybody that says you can pick it up directly? It's muksa. Right? The Gemara has a discussion whether there's muksa lachati Shabbos or not. Whether something that becomes muksa on Shabbos and then it becomes unmuksed. So does that remain muksa? Is it like being muksa at Benos Rashas where it's muksa all of Shabbos or not? But here it's muksa right now. It has no purpose. So why find that the Mishnah sounds like Rashi? But what's the Svara? So the Pnei Yoshua gives two suggestions. Two suggestions. The Pnei Yoshua continues and says, "Afilu hachi asi shapir," about the sixth or seventh line. "Man damar magbiyin me'al ha'shulchan." Let me explain why. Pshat number one. "Dekivan de'ena rotze letaltel, ela lahavira me'al ha'shulchan shari, tahavi kegrav shel rei." the heter, the well-established heter of graf shel rei, which means we know the world of muksa is derabanan. All three reasons. The Rambam quotes three different reasons, the Nilchas Muksa, why we have Halachas of Muksa, which is very unusual for the Rambam to do that. Maybe the Rambam will quote one reason for a Halacha. To quote three reasons, that's what the Rambam does. Three reasons why the world of Muksa was created. But it's all Derabanan. And there are exceptions to the rule. One of the well-established exceptions is Graf Shel Rei, which literally means you have waste material in my living room. If I have something disgusting that is in my living room, that is in my living space, the Chachamim never established their halacha, of, their din, their chumra of muksa on Shabbos. So a dirty diaper, somebody changes the dirty diaper in the bathroom, in the living room, you're allowed to pick it up and throw it out. If the garbage is full, you're allowed to take the garbage out to the dumpster. For a number of reasons. One of them is graf shel rei. If there's something that's smelling up the house, I'm allowed to take it out. It's totally useless. But that's the heter of graf shel rei. So that's number one. You have bones, you have shells on the table. It's messing up your own Shabbos. So reason number one, even if it's eino roi klal, Rashi says you're allowed to pick it up. It's not muksa. And the other daya says, no, indirectly. Tiltum and atzad. Number one. But then there's a second daya of the Pnei Yeshua explaining Rashi. If you skip to the next piece, we're not going to do it all. By the way, I give you the Rambam graf shel rei on the left side. There in Perach Chavav, let's just read it in Hilchas Shabbos. Kol davar metunaf, anything disgusting, kigon rei, v'ki, v'tsoa, any type of waste, v'chayotze bohen, imhayu b'chatzar sheyoshvim ba, mutter lotzien l'ashba, o lebeis akise, v'zeo nikra graf shel rei. Example, let's say it happened, let's say it could happen. Somebody's neighbor's dog, you know, leaves something on the in the front of the sidewalk in front of the house. You let it touch that on Shabbos? Graf shel rei. People want to walk by. It's disgusting. Right? Graf shel rei. Put it under a shovel. One can remove it. That's literally graf shel rei. So that's the heter here. Number one, it's useless, but you still let it move it. Number one. Number two, the second day, look at Os Beis in the Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says, this is a different type of case. That there is a different reason lahakel here. Than by other, different than other useless items. And that is, says the Pnei Yeshua on the second line of that section, V'shamina l'Rabbi Shimon, d'lo makse inish daite mimai detzarechle, v'hachanami, kivan d'lo sagi belav hachi, l'ha'avira me'al ha'shulchan, imkein me'esmol havidaiti ilave. I know I'm going to have chicken tomorrow. I know I'm going to eat nuts tomorrow. So you're right, right now this is useless, but I knew this was going to happen. And I planned for it. So I'm not going to call that muksa. If I know that there will be a muksa situation created, and I'm going to have to deal with it on Shabbos, but I know about it from beforehand, so that's not muksa. And I'm allowed to pick that up. That's what's cool, what we have in tomorrow's daf, actually, daf lamed in Maseches Beisa, Yoshevu Mitzape Masayavo. That's the language of the Gemara there that talks about Reb Shimon Shita, that even if a candle is lit when Shabbos starts, when it goes out, you can move the candelabra in certain cases. Because Yoshevu Mitzape, I'm not talking about Halchol Maisa right now, but I'm just mentioning that case according to Reb Shimon. Because you're expecting it. It's not something unusual case. So that's why Rashi would say here why it would be different. Because you expect it from beforehand, and therefore it would be mutter. So what would Tosfos answer back to this? Sometimes you have such great answers for Rashi, so what would Tosfos answer back? Tosfos would argue on this. Tosfos would say, even if it's useless, even if you had in mind about it, if it's useless, doesn't matter, it's still muksa. You can think about it from day to day till tomorrow. It's eino ra'ui klal. If it's eino ra'ui klal, even if you knew it was going to happen, it doesn't matter. If this is the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos, maybe we could explain another fascinating ancient minhag that's found in the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef says, in Simin Shin Ches, you have it there in front of you, in the next score, it's quoting the son of the Tashbetz. Kasav bino shel Reb Shimon bar Tzemach. Right, we have the chuvas of the Tashbetz. Al makum shenoagin. This was the minhag. Shepam rishone shemachlis adam bino lebeis haknesses. The first time a person brought his son to shul. Besides the bris. Mevi ner shava biyado echad b'shabes v'echad biyantif. He would bring to donate a wax candle to the shul. That would be the present. That was the minug, to bring a wax candle. She'ein bo iser tiltel. There's no iser to carry it. Why? Kibun she'me'erev Shabbos chashvu lahavi ha'shavahi. Because they planned to do it before Shabbos. They were going to bring it. U'machshava materes l'taltel davar ha'muksa. And as long as you thought about moving a Dvar Muksa on Shabbos, it's okay. Me'ahi d'chario shel dekel. She'gidron le'etzem. Just like branches that you gathered for wood. V'nim l'chalein li'yeshiva. Let's say you gathered branches for firewood. And then before Shabbos, you're like, I'm going to want to put that out to sit on, to use as a couch on Shabbos. That works. So just like that works, so too this candle works. That's the Tashbeis. Says the Beis Yosef, I'm sorry, but I don't like your model. I don't think you can compare the two cases. Between designating wood before Shabbos, saying, I'm going to take that wood that I was going to use for firewood, and I'm going to use it instead for a couch. You can't compare that case to the wax candle. Why? What's the difference?
The wood is being used for.
The wood is being used! Says the Tashbeis. How can you compare the cases? Exactly. Says the Beis Yosef. V'li ein ani domel l'raya. You're not using the candle at all on Shabbos. You know what you're using? Just to bring it to shul. That's not called using it. So you're going to bring it, but you're not going to do anything with it. So maybe that's usur. The branches you're planning to use. That's very different. The shiny hasam. Shehein re'uyim l'ishtamish b'abishavah. She'ein kein b'ner shel shava. So says the Beis Yosef, no, I don't like that minog. I think that's an incorrect minog. You're being metaltel muksa. Even if you think about it before Shabbos, so what? So maybe, take a step back for a minute. What's the machlokas, the Tashbeis and the Beis Yosef? You have something that's totally not usable on Shabbos. It's useless. A wax candle. Can't light fire on Yontif. What are you going to use it for? Machlokas, Tashbeis and Beis Yosef, whether it's Shabbos. Right, Shabbos, not Yontif. I said Yontif, Shabbos. Yontif is usable, but Shabbos is not usable. Right, so therefore, maybe this goof is the machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos. This machlokas achronim. Rashi and Tosfos, whether you could be mechin, something that is totally muksa. That's the difference between the two. That could be a parallel. That's with the Ha'ara and the Rashba, Rav Sklar, who wrote the Ha'aras and the Rashba, who learned Meseches Beitza with Rav Yashiv. Every other footnote is from Rav Yashiv. So he quotes there on the bottom left. He says, maybe this is totally the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, whether one is able to be Mechin, something that is totally useless. Again, some things aren't totally useless. You could use a rock for something on Shabbos. If I'm making a rock before Shabbos, that's a discussion in the postgim. But there are some that say, I'm going to use it as a paperweight. I'm going to use it as a doorstopper. I'm going to use it. Let's say some people have a rock by their front door that holds the screen door, you know, whatever, the front door open. And this is the rock they always have there. That's not muksa. Because they always use it, especially if they use it during the week. But here, this is something about it's totally useless. The bones and the shells, and maybe even the candle. So it could be that this is a machlokas rishonim and a machlokas achronim. And just halacha l'maisa, what are we paskin about this machlokas? If you look in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shin Ches, on the bottom, says the Shulchan Aruch, atzamos sheru'uyin liklavim. Uklavim sheru'uyin l'machol behema. Who does he sound like? Tosfos. Right, if they're roi l'machal, he puts both cases of the Mishnah together. Upiruim shemem kizayis, and he took the ration and the save of the Mishnah, put it together. Mutter la'avir me'al ha'shulchan, avalem ein aklifim ruim l'machal behema, asur l'taltalam ela minaris atavlevim noflim. You have to use tiltal minatzad. You have to use, and that it's ein or roi. Most of our bones, most of us left on our table, first of all, we generally don't pick up the bones directly. We usually pick it up with a plate. Whatever's on the plate, we clear the table, which is going to get into the next topic. That's why it's related. And that is what's called basis l'davar haser. But in any case, most of the time our bones still have some meat on it. Some flesh. We don't do a perfect job. Right? If it falls on the floor, if somebody has a pet, the pet goes for it. So most of what we call garbage isn't always garbage. But if it is totally ain't o'roli, then the Shulchan Aruch is machmir. Like Tosfos that, one should not touch it directly. That is all part one, the issue of being mechin something that is eino roi klal. Does that work for hachan to take it out of the world of muksa, machlokas rashi tosfos, maybe a machlokas, the tashbeis, and the beis yosef? Yeah.
What about the grash shel rei angle?
What about the first answer? Right, the tosfos holds of the concept of grash shel rei. Right, tosfos holds of that concept. So but maybe he says that, you know, you can't. The Gemara says in one place, earlier we had it in Beis also, you can't create a graf shel rei l'chadchila. Maybe the heter of graf shel rei is only if it happened, that it's something out of your control. But here, you created it. So maybe Tosfos would say that. You don't really have a Graf Sharei Heter when you created in the first place. That's what maybe he would say. Okay, that's all part one. Now let's get to part two, which is related to part one that we just spoke about, and that is the concept of Basis L'Davar Ha'aser. And that is the other Tosfos that discusses that Mishnah that we had on in Shabbos. Let's look back at Beitza D'Avezam and Aleph. Look at the bottom Tosfos. Actually, third to bottom Tosfos. Ubeis Hillel Omrim. What was the more machmer shita in the Mishnah? The more machmer shita says, you got to pick up the tablecloth. Got to pick up the tablecloth and shake it out. So ask Tosfos, why are you even allowed to do that? If it's muksa, why are you allowed to do that? Says Tosfos, Tema, Fahalohi Basis L'Davar Ha'asur. Isn't it? We know there's a principle, not only of an item of muksa, but something that is supporting muksa. Something that is, I'm not going to say under, because not every basis has the mutter item under. It could even be on top, but somehow connected. We'll see some examples of Bez Hashem soon. But it's supporting. If you have a devar mutter, supporting a devar aser, then the devar mutter also becomes muksa. If there's a tray with a candlestick on it, the tray is muksa. That's basis of devar aser. The holo shachach, because that's what you didn't forget it, did you? We'll get to that lashon. Holvi nicham shami daito. You put it down. You put the bones down after you ate the chicken. You put the nuts down after you ate the put the shells down. See, as Tosfos, why should you be able to shake out the tablecloth? Isn't the tablecloth a basis l'davar ha'aser? That's the question. Where's the background for this? Where is this found in the Mishnah? Tosfos doesn't quote anything. It's the Mishnah at the end of Masechta Shabbos. You look at the top of the next page. The Mishnah tells us ha'even. If there is a stone on a barrel, a wine barrel, I want to use the wine barrel on Shabbos. But the problem is, what's the cover to the wine barrel? A big rock. Rocks are muksa. So what do I do? Mata altida vihino felis. So I can't touch the rock directly. Interesting. You might say, what do you mean? The rock is a cover. So maybe you happen to be there and you didn't designate it. This is a raya according to the. There are some rishonim. According to Shulchan Aruch, that certain muksa machvas gufos, so like rocks, maybe even with hachana, aren't called muchan unless you do a physical act to them, like you cut them or do something else. So maybe here you didn't, and it's right to those rishonim. Either way, mat alti devino chveles. So you let it, you tilt the barrel to the side, and it falls. Says the Gemara, skip down. Amar afun amar rav lo shanu ella bishocheach. You're only allowed to do this with a barrel. Move the barrel and have the rock tilt off if you forgot the rock there. You didn't mean to put it there. We'll talk more about Hashem soon about how to define that. Avo b'meiniach, but if you put the rock on there and you meant the rock to be on there, na'aseh basis l'davar ha'asor, that even the barrel becomes muksa and you can't move the barrel. The barrel is muksa like the rock is muksa. That's this concept of basis. So ask Tosfos, back in Beit Adav Beis, why is it that you are allowed to pick up the tablecloth and shake off the bones and the shells? It's a basis. Tosfos gives three answers. And again, we'll see all of them play a role of Maisa. We're going to talk a little bit of Lamdis, and then we're going to see the Simonim and the Shvir Shabbos about basis, which comes up all the time. Says Tosfos, answer number one, the Yesh Lomar. Back to Tosfos, bottom of base of that base. De la pirish Rabbeinu tam nicha. De pirish b'mesecha Shabbos. De lo avi basis l'davar ha'asur alok shedaito l'anicham sham kol hayom. What's the Gemara's chiluk of shachach and meniach? Meniach means you want it there the entire Shabbos. If you had in mind to take it off before Shabbos, that's not basis. That doesn't create basis. What that Gemara meant was that, but if you had in mind for the rock to stay there all 24 hours, that's basis. But if you had in mind to take it up beforehand, no problem. So here, what, you had in mind for the shells and the bones to stay there all Shabbos? No. So not a basis. Answer number one. Answer number two. Inami. Kivan dahavi sham ochlin. Since there are also food items on the tablecloth, havi le basis l'davar ha'asr l'davar ha'mutter vishari. So it's a basis to what we call both davar asur davar mutter, and therefore it's mutter. It's not a basis. Basis davar asur davar mutter does not create basis. If in a drawer I have my wallet, which is muksa, but I also have the challah knife, which is somehow got into the same drawer, I'm allowed to take out the drawer. and take out the challah knife, because it's not a basis. When Shabbos started, it was a basis of rasa over mutter. Even if I might take out the challah knife, I can push the drawer back in, because the drawer is not muksa. When Shabbos started, it was not a basis of rasa over mutter, and I didn't. So says therefore it's mutter. What's the svara for that? Why is the davar hamutter more important in terms of defining basis of the davar aser? It's a basis of rasa too. Why do you look at the davar hamutter? What's the svara for that? So we'll have to come back to that. Bez Hashem soon. But that's answer number two. Kedemucha b'perek notel. Ve'od. And the third answer of Tosfos. De'ein ze'meiniach be'kavana. De'ein o'choshish heichan yiplu. When I put the bone of the chicken down, that's called meiniach. That's called putting it down? No, it falls down. I don't care where it's put down. Even if you say it doesn't have to be there. Even if you say meiniach is if you put it down even for an hour. You don't need 24 hours. Still, this is not called meiniach. You just threw it down. This is not called placement when you put the bones or you put the shells down. Three answers to the question of Tosas, why isn't this a bus? I'd like to just focus on one of the answers to then get us into the topic of what is the svara for buses. How does buses work? Buses are davar ha'aser. Why is that aser? It's not muksa. So I have a rock on the barrel. The barrel is a barrel. Why does that all of a sudden lose its own identity? Or does it lose its own identity? I'm giving something away already. Why does it become muksa? Just because something muksa is on top of it. So let's continue reading. If you look at the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Mem Tes, we will start getting our eyes open for the sugya of basis. Look at the Mishnah, Shabbos Mem Tes, right there. Tomnim bashlachin matatzel nosan. Begizei serevei matatzel nosan. This is in the fourth parak of Shabbos, which is all about the sugya of hatzmana, insulation. How they insulate? Remember, they didn't want to leave their ovens on. Their ovens on weren't on the whole night. So I had a boiling, piping hot pot. I wrapped it up with wool. I had wool in, raw wool. Let's say I just sheared my sheep on Erev Shabbos. I have this raw wool, which is useless. Right? It's muksa. It's not ready. It's not in ready-made form yet. So it's really basically, I'm going to make it into a garment, but I'm going to wrap my pot in it. Gizei tzemer. Fine. That's good, but then how do you get your pot out? How do you get your pot out? Says the Mishnah. Ketzad hu oseh, note elasa kisui vehe noflos. What you do is, let's say, imagine you have a pot with a little handle on top. It's surrounded by insulation, so I have to stick my hand in to get the pot cover, pull off the pot cover, and mamela, the wool and insulation will fall off. I can't touch the wool directly. That's muksa. But I can take off the pot cover. Why isn't that a basis? Why isn't that a problem of basis? The pot cover is underneath the wool. And I want it there. Says Rashi. Notel kisui shel kedera sheyesh toras kli aleha. Right, the pot cover you could take off. It's kli. The afagav always means implicit question. In the Gemara, in Rashi, it tells us in anything, methodological point. Afagav is always implicit question. The afagav, shehein aleha, lo ichpat lo. And even though the wool is on top of the pot, doesn't matter. De lo nasis basis lahen, why not? Shehein asui, ela lechasos kedera. Boom. Rashi lets us in on a secret. Why isn't it a basis? Because what's the purpose of the wool? To cover the pot. What's buses? And what is not buses? Rashi says the wool is not buses. Why? What is serving what? In our case here, the wool is serving the pot cover. It's keeping it warm. Why isn't that a buses? Because look at Rashi in Shabbos Mem Zayin in the next source on the left side. Buses means that the item that is underneath is serving the muksa item, and therefore it loses its own identity. It's tafel. Look at Rashi's lashon, talking about a bottom of a candle to the flame. Debechiyai muksa moder Reb Shimon shakli tafel l'shalheves ba'odaba. It's tafel. It loses its own identity. That's svara number one for basas adavar ha'asur. The secondary item, The item usually underneath is serving the item on top of it. That's basis. But in the case of the Mishnah and Shabbos, the muksa item is serving the mutter item. That's not basis. You don't look at it in physical forms. Right? Like Rabbeinu Tam says, it has to be there the whole Shabbos. Why? Physically it's a basis. The answer is no, you don't just look at the physical idea. You look at the situation specifically, what is serving what? That is the svar that Rashi gives in terms of bittel. Where's a similar context where we have this? The Shulchan Aruch talks about a case. Turn the page for a minute. The Shulchan Aruch talks about a case in Simin Shin Yud Aleph. The opposite case. Not keeping things warm, but keeping things cold. They use the ground for refrigeration. So let's say I put some turnips. I put some turnips in the ground before Shabbos. I want to keep them cold. And before Shabbos, on Shabbos, I want to pull them out. So I'm going to pull the stem. That's not attached to the ground. That would be kotzer. I'm going to pull the stems out of the ground, but there's dirt surrounding it. So the Shulchan Aruch says, are you allowed to do that? Am I allowed to pull the vegetables out of the ground, knowing that the dirt's going to move? Says the Shulchan Aruch, tiltul menatzad letzorach davar hamutter. You're allowed to move muksa. Indirectly, letzorach davar hamutter, mutter. Hilkach, tznon shetaman ba'aretz. If you have a radish that's hidden in the ground. Umiksas alav megulim. And some of its leaves are hidden, so you could grab them and pull it up. Velo hishrish. And obviously, it didn't take root. Vegamlon is kavin lezriya. And you didn't put it in the ground to plant it. Notlo, afal pisha benetilas omezes afar mimkomo. Even though that by moving the radish, you are moving the dirt on top of it, it's still allowed. Why is it allowed? Why isn't it a basis? What's the answer? The same answer Rashi gave. In Masechta Shabbos, Memtes. Because what's serving what? The radish isn't serving the dirt on top of it. The dirt's serving the radish. That's what the Mishnah Berurah explains. Mishnah Berurah explains at the bottom. He says, Adarabah, she ha'ofar mishamesh ha'ochel. The dirt is serving. Buses you don't look at. We don't look at what's under what. We look at, in the general terms, what is servicing what. And if the Dvar Muksa is servicing the Dvar Heter, then it is not a buses Ladavar Ha'asr. Yeah.
Why is it not a problem with Choresh there?
Why isn't it Choresh? Good question. Choresh is where you are, this hole was there beforehand. Right, so you just filled in the hole. Now you are, you know, opening up the hole because you might say you put the naked duzareya there. So maybe it's referring to very. I think Tosfos and Shabbos asked that question in a different in Kira. I think it's maybe it's very soft earth, so it falls in and it fills it in. It does the hole doesn't stay. So maybe that could be the what Tosfos says. Oh. So this is all Rashi. Rashi is clear. Basis is about what is Mishamish what and what is Tafel to what. Remember what Rabbeinu Tam says. Rabbeinu Tam didn't give this answer. And Abali Tosfos didn't give this answer. And while there are other answers to Tosfos' question, look at the Rashba on the bottom. The Rashba on the bottom gives a different answer to Tosfos' question. The original question of Tosfos. What did the Rashba say? Avalatzamos v'klipin, fourth to last line. Delo chashivi v'ein matzniyem klau la'olam ein la'am taras basis. Maybe actually this Rashba works well with Rashi. Some things are not strong enough to create buses. Right? These are very inferior items. This isn't something chashiv. This is garbage. Garbage is going to create buses? So again, what's that svar? What do you mean? It's muksa. The answer is no. But you can't say the tablecloth is going to be batel to these chicken bones. No, the tablecloth is much more chashuv. So I'm sorry, this Rashba works well with Rashi, but other Rishonim give different shatim. There is another suggestion given by the implicitly by the Rishonim, but explained by the Achronim for buses. Another svar for buses is that, not that it's batel, not batel agabi the dvar muksa, but no. Focus on the person's das. If there is a muksa item on my mutter item, then the mutter item is out of my das. I have no das for it. It's not a halachic definitional idea. but it is focused on my das. This is a general question about all mukses. How much is it on the chefza? How much is it on the gavra? How much is it a haksas a gavra or a hetzach a das of the gavra or that the chefza is not roy, right? L'mayin afgamina, the post can discuss what happens if something is not really muksa, but I think it's muksa when Shabbos started. I put my figs on the roof to dry, and when Shabbos started, I thought they weren't dry yet. They were still putrid, and therefore I thought they were inedible. So I didn't think about eating them, but really they were dry already. That's a machlokas achronim. I think something's muksa when Shabbos starts, but it's really not muksa. Nafkamina, do you focus on the gavra? Do you focus on the chefza? See, here too by buses. That's the chakira that is mentioned. If you want to look at, for more about buses in Lamdis, you can look at the Minchas Asher on Masech HaShabbos, Simen Nun Beis. He has this chakira. Im yesodo v'sharsho, b'mashe buses tafel el hanisa alav. I didn't give this to you. Ubatel legabe lihios muksa kamoso. Ukiilu davar echadheim. They're as if they're one item. Is that what it's called? Oh, Shema havi yisod muksa de basis mishem haksas hadas de adam maksa daito mea basis aga maksas daito mikufa muksa. Once I don't plan on using the top muksa item, I don't plan on using the item that's under it. So do you focus on the person? Do you focus on the chesa? That might depend. That might have many nafkaminas. One of them, why is basis davar asal davar muser mutter? Why is that? So, according to Rashi, because why should the tafel item be batel to the muksa item? You have a mutter item in it too. Or, the other svara is that, no, I'm not maksin my daiti because I have a mutter item. Again, there are other nafkaminas as well that he quotes here. Number of nafkaminas, for example, he quotes the Mistar, Im hiniach isra agave basis. There's a basis of our asr. Vehis kavein mi ba'od yom ma'aniach alav gam heter. What if I was planning to put a davar ha-mutter also before Shabbos, and I forgot? Veshachach, ulo basof, ein alav ela isra bilvad. I meant to make this a basis of our davar mutter, but I didn't. So what's the halacha there? So he quotes from Rav Shlomo Zalman, that the kivan she is kavein la'aniach alav heter, ela sheshachach, it's shachach, and therefore it's not a basal davar asar mutter. And he calls from Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe says, no, it's asar. When Shabbos started, it's only isar on it. So that gufa could be a nafkamina. If you say it's a question of haksas hadas of the gavra, so here he wasn't maksadas. He was going to put a davar mutter on. So the bottom item is as if you did. But if you say it's an issue of formal definitions when Shabbos starts, so maybe lamaisa, you only have a davar isar on here. And therefore will be batel to the Dvar Isser. Either way, that's one nafkamina, there are others. Feel free to look there in Simin Nun Beis. Good. I just wanted to end off with the last section. I just gave you the Se'ifim in the Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos has about 15 pages on buses. What you have in front of you, these three pages, are the Yesodos, the conceptual Yesodos, and then he has another five pages about the Lamaisa cases. So just the Yesodos, they'll come from the sources that we already did. So let's just read some of it, not all of it, and then we'll stop. So the left side of the page five. Basis of Davar Ha'asr. Rotzel Omar. Davar, and this is the new, the Madura Chadasha, of the Shmir Shabbos. Rotzel Omar. Davar, Shekishalatzmo, Mutalatalo. Right, when we... Also, well, we mentioned before why we have a Pnei Yoshua. So you can mention now why we have a Shmir Shabbos. Shmir Shabbos writes in his Hakdama of the new version. Unbelievable story. His whole story about how he was in hiding during the Shoah. The whole, like, he was in one room for 4 years. He didn't go out of the room. Unbelievable. And he writes, but he was always, there was Zoche to keep Shabbos. The whole year, all the years, they never had to be Mechal Shabbos. And after the war, to the end of the war, they finally come, they get their visas to go to Eretz Yisrael, and they're waiting and waiting and waiting, and the boat comes on Shabbos. And they have to go that day. They have to get on the boat that day. If not, they might not make it, and then the visa gonna, he's like, what am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? He says he was crying, he didn't know what to do. See, he says he had to get on because it was Pikuach Nefesh, but he took a neder at that moment. I'm gonna do something for Shabbos in my life. And that's why we have a Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Because of there. So we have to pray Yeshua because of that. Right, these are two of the great Baalei HaMesorah that took situations in their life and used it as motivation. So back to our case. Shekashal atzmo mutter l'taltalo. The item is mutter. Aval kasher u'mishamesh basis l'muksa. When it is a basis for a muksa item. Kagon she'iniyach dvar muksa alav. O tala bo dvar muksa. There's a muksa item on it. Harayu makabel as kol adinim shel ha'muksa. It gets all the dinim. Va'as l'taltalo b'meshach kol ha'shabes. You can't touch this even if the muksa item is removed. if it was Basa Slavar Ha'asar when Shabbos started. But there are many different limitations which he talks about. Let's go to the left side now. Interesting limitation that we didn't mention yet. Ein abasis osnun beis. Ein abasis nasar betiltol el kasha muksa hunach alav al yidei bailov o al yidei misha kibo rishus vimendor lahanicha alav. If my friend comes in and puts a muksa item on something of mine, ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo. It only if it's me or the person who had rishus. An amazing application of that principle of ein adam oser davar she'enu shelo. If it was a schus for me, fine. But if not, person can't answer it. In other words, davar shein shelo. One limitation. Number two, simin nun gimel on the next page. Ein abasis nasar betiltol ela im kein he niach as hamuksa bimiskavein kadeshi hamunach alav. Right, like we said, me niach. It has to be placed on there because you wanted it there. Oh, afila lo inicho al das kein el shazel makom al kavua. Or even if you didn't place it there, but that's the place where it's supposed to be, like a wallet. Did you place the money in the wallet? That's where money is supposed to be. So that's muksa. Ki oz nefach adavar amutr betiltol abasiso shalom muksa. But if you forgot something there, that it's not a basis. Next, ein abasis nasar betiltol elam niyachas amuksa al adavar hamutr mikivin shu rotsa shalavar mutr yishamish es amuksa avolam amuksa mishamish es davar hamutr are examples. So then it's not a basis like the case of the rock on the barrel. Because the rock on the barrel is being mishamish, and therefore it would be mutter. And then he quotes the Heter of Rabbeinu Tam, only if it was there all of Shabbos. And then you have a very important discussion of Machlokas, Sif Nun Vav. Ein abasis nasar betiltol, ela im kein yesh lemuksa shalav chashivus lagabav. Where does that come from? That's our day in the Rashba. Only if it's some type of chashivus on top. Avalam ein lo chashivus lagabav, if it's something totally not chashiv at all, then it cannot create a basis. The final point to mention, and that is in Sifnun Zayin, Basas Ladavar Asr, as we mentioned, is only by Basas Ladavar Asr, but not Basas Ladavar Asr, Ladavar HaMutter. You have a Davar HaMutter on there also, it's okay. Does the Davar HaMutter have to be as significant or more significant than the Davar HaAsr or not? Where does this come up all the time? Sukkot Shabbos candles. Somebody wants to take out their silver to the Sukkah, that's the din, you got to take it out, but I don't want to leave it there overnight. So on Yontif, no problem. I can move it. You're allowed to move fire on Yontif. But on Shabbos, you can't move it while it's lit. So I want to bring it in after the candles go out Friday night. While it's moving, while it's lit, I can't move it. But after they go out, I want to bring it in. But the tray is a bustle Zavar Aser. So how do I bring it in? So the Minhag Yisrael is to put something else on the tray. Put challahs, put candy, or put a gold watch. Why are some people machmir to put a gold watch? Because of the Gra and other achronim who say that, what? It's a joke. You're going to put some taffies? Taffies in the candelabra? That's a davar asa, davar mutter. Oh, come on. That's not a chashuv in relative terms. So that's why they put a gold watch. But others say, this is in the footnote right here in the Shmir Shabbos. What do you mean? You don't go by objective value. You don't go by price. You go by what's useful for you on Shabbos. And if a roll is useful for you on Shabbos, that outweighs the candles. Which, by the way, fits in beautifully to the concept of tafel. Right? If it's useless for me on Shabbos, maybe this is useful, so you're not going to say it's going to be tafel to that. Right? Or I'm not maksa my das. Either way, these are all a couple of issues. On the next page, which I didn't give you, the Shmir Shabbos says, now let me take all of these and relate them to the 25 examples, lemaisa, basas, davar asr. Okay, either way, just to review, what did we do tonight? We spoke about two different topics. First, creating muchan from something that is not roy at all, machlokas Rashi Tosfos, maybe a machlokas Tashis and Beis Yosef. But then we also said, but the case that was based on is the case of the tablecloth. Isn't that a case of basis? Tosfos gave three answers. We got into the svara of Rashi. What's the svara for basis? That it loses its own character, it's batel to the davar hamuksa, while other rishonim might hold Other svar is that, no, it's just about haksas hagavra, a number of nafkaminas, and we saw some limitations, lemaisa, for buses at the end. Okay, we'll stop here. But next time, we'll pick up with other inyanim here in Maseches Beitzah.